Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm joined by Angela Colton and for Pastor Margaret, who at the time of this recording is taking some time off. Angela Cole, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Great to be here with you.
And we're also joined by Pat and Chris Kennedy, who are here today to talk about serving, and they serve in many different areas. So Pat and Chris, how are you all doing today?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
So I mentioned that we have you in here to talk about serving, and in a recent sermon series that we've been in, one of the weeks was on service, and so in kind of brainstorming about who might I be able to have in, actually the particular day that I asked Pat if him and Chris would be willing to come in, he came in to serve and help run sound for our Kids Harbor, which is our after school and daycare. They were having their graduation that weekend, which is near and dear to Angela Cole's heart as she led that for many years. But Pat said, well, if you can convince Chris to come in, then I'll come in with her. So yeah, whichever one of you all want to start. When I say serving, and it doesn't have to be in the church. I mean, obviously I know that'll be our main part of our focus. But when I say serving and serving others and serving the church, what comes to your mind?
I remember my parents serving ever since I was a little kid. My dad was a Shriner and he was so busy with that sort of activity. And my mom was always helping neighbors. In fact, we had a neighbor move in with us until she passed away. So they really modeled serving for me, I think. So I've seen it from being a little kid and all.
What about you, Patrick?
I was in the Catholic Church when I was a kid and I was I served on the altar. So that was, I guess, one of my first experiences. My parents were pretty, they weren't well off. There was 8 kids, 3 bedroom house. So we were going from paycheck to paycheck, I think. And so there wasn't a whole lot of serving except within the house, trying to keep things going. Yeah.
Well, serving family, that's serving too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think for me, watching you two, you've always just been present and just shown up. And Grayson mentioned that you have served all the at the Kids Harbor graduations and that kind of thing. We've done that together for years, and you are so faithful in that, but you're many other places. So What causes you all to choose where you serve?
Well, based on, at least on me, with my gifts, whatever gifts I have to serve with. And for a long, long time, I was playing guitar with the bands that serve each Sunday. And, of course, the sound booth. And got asked, I was doing that for CR, their sound. And then I think it was Pearl asked me to come and help in the kitchen because they didn't need the sound booth anymore, or not during that time. And so, yeah, I started helping serve in the kitchen.
Now, you've always cooked. Is that just a gift that you've always had?
Yeah, I've always wanted to, and I do a little bit.
Does he cook at home, Chris?
He cooks one night a week, and it's always fantastic. In fact, it's tonight.
Ooh. Oh, and you know what? That's serving you, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's a way for him to serve you in your home.
And he fixes a fantastic breakfast every Thursday morning after men's prayer. Yeah. And it is something I look forward to every week.
That's beautiful.
I think I joked with him one morning that we were all going to come to his house.
I know. We might, now that everybody's after heard this, Bible we're going to show up. We won't share.
We won't address. Share.
What about you, Chris? You serve in unique ways.
Yeah. Well, I started serving in the nursery when I first started coming here and got to know a couple people that way, and then started serving sewing. Another gal, Christy Ann Dedemore Huntsberger. Yes. And I kind of got started sewing, and that lasted several years. We made all the costumes for the musicals and the Easter and Christmas programs, and that was so much fun. And then it just kind of went on from there. Pat was cooking, and I was home, and that's no fun. So I started helping him cook on Mondays, and now that's, you know, we're a real team at that.
Right.
Yeah. And then I serve with face painting and twisting balloons at times. And that's just a love of mine. That's a That's my profession.
Yes.
So I love doing
it. I'm excited.
That.
You're coming to my baby's birthday party soon.
That will be a hoot.
That is going to be so good. But what I think what we hear right here is that there's so many gifts and talents, and Scripture tells us that God has created us for good works. And sometimes I think people think they don't have anything to share, but if you hear you two, you share what you're good at. You share what how God's created you to serve, but you use it for His glory in the kitchen. I was here last night. We had a board meeting. Pat serves on our board, and he's cutting lasagna. I mean, he just can't help but serve. And you, somebody may say, did you just say face painting and balloon twisting? Yeah. Folks have no idea. It's all of the gifts, and together it helps us.
Right.
Right? Because you wouldn't want me to paint a face.
Yeah. It's like in the Bible, it says, it talks about the body, and everybody can't be a hand, and everybody can't be a foot.
Yeah.
You know, you need all the different gifts. And everybody willing to give their gift.
That's right.
To serve in the many different areas. Now, Chris, I have to ask you this. Talking about face painting and particularly doing the balloons, did Pastor Vic get you into doing the balloons?
He did. He taught a lot of the basic ballooning to me and a whole room of other people. And I still have the pump that he allowed me to use. I mean, it's expanded. I've got more talents now and a whole lot more gear for balloon twisting. But yeah, he helped me with a lot of stuff.
Right.
Another way that Pat and I serve that people don't see too often is, I guess, in hospitality. We've housed some pastors. Yeah. For one young pastor, we would house him all summer for 3 years. The fourth year was COVID, so we didn't do that. But in missionaries, we've had several missionaries stay with us. So hospitality is something else that I love to do.
Well, I think that shows, too, that may not be showing up here at the church, but how do you use what God's given you? You use your home. I know you served your father so beautifully in his last days and opened your home.
Yeah.
9 years.
Was it 9 years?
9 years he stayed with us.
And so I think that's so important that it's not, when we talk about serving, it's not just about what you do in the church. It starts in your family. It starts, I mean, hearing you all, you fixing that Thursday breakfast, serving your sweet wife. That it starts there. We need to serve our families and then beyond in the community. And it just, it's beautiful how it just continues to domino effect.
And I think if one of us is serving in an area, the other one is more likely to join that so that we're working together. That helps a marriage be stronger.
Right.
Yeah.
And it keeps us playing together rather than apart.
Right. Yeah.
I think the other thing that you said I think is really important is how Pastor Vic taught you. And I would say that you have taught many others.
Yeah.
So how do you all use your gifts of serving to disciple and to teach others to continue to serve?
Well, I've taught lots of people face painting. I don't know how many have continued on with it, but there have been, Felicidad and I have worked together to teach people, and she learned, and she's gone off.
She's great at it.
And her son has, two of the three of them, helped twist balloons with me when I needed to have somebody else. And I know Orion, her youngest, he has gone on and he has his own business now, doing balloons and glitter tattoos. So, it's fun to see that.
Never knew that you could use a glitter tattoo to share the gospel and serve people. And I love it.
Yep. And I can speak from experience that Pat and I both serve on the tech team together. And when we first kind of during COVID, we realized that what sounds good out in the sanctuary doesn't necessarily sound good online. And so we started having a separate person mix our online sound. And when I first started doing that, Daryl was going to train me, but he was so busy running the whole tech team that the week that worked for me was when Pat was on. He said, well, Pat can train you. So Pat trained me to do online sound, and I'm very grateful for that.
And boy, there's a difference. There's a difference when someone shares that gift.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And then there's the ripple effect again. Folks that can't be present can have quality.
Right.
And what they hear and getting to hear the message and the worship.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that can't make it to church, whether it be physical issues or maybe they have a kid homesick or maybe they're traveling. Mm-hmm. Or so the same quality that we want inside these walls, we would want for people watching online. And so
I think another joy in serving, and I've experienced that with both of you, is just the partnership and the fellowship, even growing a relationship and knowing one another and getting to serve together.
Well, that's how we made most of our friends at church, is working through them. Right. You know, you were working with them. You spend time, and that's how you get to know people and become fast friends. And we have made several fast friendships, working on mission trips.
And Hope Distributed.
And through life group.
And we do that on a regular basis as well.
Yeah, so you mentioned mission trips. What are some of the mission trips you all have been on over the years?
Pat was the first one to go.
I think Burkina Faso, was a long time ago, 2005.
I remember. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I've done Argentina. We built a missionary's house. And Ghana, we were working on a school or a building to train pastors. And then Bangladesh, which was my all-time favorite, we were building a child development center where the kids can get food, education, school supplies. And then that involves the family coming sometimes to get food, and it brings everybody into the church. In Bangladesh, the Sabbath was on Saturday, so everybody came on Sunday, and it just developed into a way to gather people and show them the church and show them Jesus. Yeah, that was such a fun trip. Yeah, my favorite by all measures.
Who did you go with on that trip?
It was a very small crew, Vicki Waldrop and Frank Waldrop. And Pastor Sam. And then there were people from another church, Whitestone.
Whitestone, yeah. I remember, funny enough, when I was in middle school, we did a mission trip and stayed in that church and did some.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was the same time Superstorm Sandy happened while we were gone. And the people that were in the other church in Whitestone, they were getting hit with the weather. And all the men had planned to have generators prepared for their family. And they sacrificed a lot, leaving their family in a potential difficult situation. And yeah.
What do you guys were talking about fellowship and how you've gained friends. Yeah. And I had the privilege of sharing the message at East Rock about serving. And one thing that I read was just how healthy serving is for us. That I think God created our bodies to serve and to share, and that it's an antidote for depression. It's an antidote for anxiety and such an antidote for loneliness.
Yes.
And so what would you say to folks that are like, I don't have anything to give and I'm lonely? What would you say to them about serving?
Oh, I'd say if you start serving, you'll start thinking about other people and your problems will diminish and your joys will increase. That's how I met Vicki Waldrop. I had surgery and she brought a meal and we had to coordinate where to meet. We met at Spotswood during band practice, marching band practice.
And what a partnership. Whoa. Let's talk about two servants.
Yeah, and we haven't looked back, and that was a long time ago. That was like 2004. Wow. So, yeah.
Speaking of serving and Frank and Vicki Waldrop, I just have to share. When we first moved here in 2001, we moved here, and they took us under their wing. They were our Sunday school teachers.
Oh, you're lucky to have had them.
Wasn't I just so blessed? And they would bring us to their home. I'll never forget meals at their farmhouse. And so I think that reminds me that serving can look different, so different, regardless of what you have to give. It may be bringing a meal to someone that creates a lasting friendship and lots of serving together. It may be bringing a young couple in under your wing who's moved from a new area. There's so many ways that we can serve that maybe don't look the way we think they will, but it's just giving of who you are.
Yeah, and I think we've touched on this too, but if y'all want to expand and add some stuff, a lot of times we serve because we see needs, and so we serve to serve others, but a lot of times in serving, now, maybe it's because they're in areas we're passionate or areas where our gifting is, but oftentimes we get as much out of serving as what we give to serving. So if y'all want to talk about what you get out of, you personally, what you get out of serving others.
Well, just recently we were cooking for CR and we had a lot of extra food. And I was out in the hallway where I really had no reason to be normally. And there was a fella there in the high-vis outfit asking for somebody that worked at the church. And so I stepped up, and he said that he had extra asphalt. And he always goes to a church. to give it away and asked if we had a place. Well, I said, let me check. And it just so happened, it's not normal, but Pastor Joe was there in official capacity. And so I whispered to him and he went out and chatted with the guy and I talked on the phone with someone else. And we ended up getting some paving done. And because we had the extra food, we could feed that crew of eight pavers. Oh. And it was really cool to see God working. I don't normally recognize it so obviously that he used the extra food and he used my position in a place I really had no business to be. And he used Pastor Joe and we introduced Jesus to those guys in, you know, giving them a fantastic brisket meal.
Yes. I don't think we have any idea effects that may have. And you never know, one of them could have been hungry. And I mean, it's the fact that they chose our church that day.
Yeah. And they just might remember what a warm, cozy feeling that church gave them.
And come home and come back.
And come back. They're the team's from Richmond, so they probably won't come to this church, but hopefully go to a church and meet Jesus there.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Patrick? What do you get out of the areas that you serve in?
Big question. I'm sure that I can say, and people always say this, I guess, is that you get more out of serving than you think you're going to get. You think you're giving, and you are, but what's happening is God and other people are giving back to you at the same time, and you usually receive more than you give.
Yeah, I know. I help with the teens, and that was how I got into helping with the youth was when I first graduated college. I wanted to serve, but it's funny to say the pastor's son didn't know how to get involved in serving. But Pastor Adrian, at the time, he was our middle school youth pastor, and he took me to lunch one day and asked if I'd help with the 6th and 7th grade boys. And honestly, the first year or two I helped, there were some nights I was like, why am I here? I didn't do anything. But I realized I was learning and building maybe confidence and such. But even helping with middle school and high school kids, we can learn stuff from people we're serving as much as hopefully we're teaching them.
Right.
And so that's something that I think we get out of that is, you know, just having an open mind and, you know, even though we're there to serve, just learning from them is.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think something else you said, Grayson, two things come to mind. Sometimes it's just about being willing to be present.
Yeah.
I would say to Pat, I don't even know how we connected. I don't know. I don't remember that, but I know that Pat has always just been a calming comfort to me. If Pat's there, things are comforting to me. His presence is comforting. And so you just never know when your presence just exudes the Lord, and you both do that. You both do that, and you've done that in situations for me. And I just think being willing to show up, being willing to, you were talking about taking a meal. I've had 3 kids. I still remember the meals people brought me, right? Yeah. I still remember those. That was such an incredible gift. You think, oh, what a big deal is a meal. It's a very big deal. But just the presence of someone. The other thing is, you were talking about, I think, God equipping us. Yeah. Do you guys ever have a thought about something that you were asked to do and you're like, there is no way, but the Lord equipped you for it?
Doing this interview is something that...
Right. You're doing great. He's equipping you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something I never thought I would ever do.
You're doing a great job. Often I will say, I do believe God created us to do things, but often He will put us in places that stretch us so we can trust Him and grow and our faith. Yeah. So has there ever been a place where you think, oh man, that one was tough, but I could see God's faithfulness?
The Burkina Faso trip was, you probably heard stories, it was a very tough trip. It was in the poorest place of Africa, in all of Africa, and I could go on about, you know, the conditions, but it was hot. It was 96 or 98 degrees at night and humid and anyway. They burnt the trash in the middle in the streets at night, and then they, you know, in the dirt streets.
Oh wow!
So when you had your windows open,
I was going to say, so you couldn't breathe. You're not used to that, and
plus you have your windows open trying to get cool.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's smoke coming in.
Anyway, we really connected with the people that we went and helped. We started a school. And they had people that were helping as well. And just sitting down in the dirt, you know, working on the wire or the steel, people started talking to you and asking about who you were and what what did you do and where did you live? And we were really connected to those people. Several days of building in the hot day, but you could see their love for the Lord also building and expressing itself in some of the services, and just really got to connect with those people. And that's the important part, I think, is the connection.
Absolutely.
Connecting to people and getting to understand more about them and more them understanding more about you and how we're all the same in a lot of ways. And we have lots of hopes and dreams for our lives, and they have the same. Right. So you're brought down to a level that you really connect, and you're humbled by that.
Learning about the other cultures when you travel is so interesting, and I think it gives you an insight when you come back and you meet people. When I went to Ghana, they had a great respect for the elderly, and I have white hair. So I was elderly.
Oh, wow.
Because there aren't that many elderly, white-haired people in Ghana.
Sure.
And so they wanted to help me do things. And they helped me learn how to say a couple things in Ghanaian language. And one of them was, my name is Sunday. That's the day I was born. So my name is Sunday Chris. Mididi Akosia Chris, which is nothing. I mean, so what, I learned how to say that. Well, I was face painting, I don't know, just at Easter. And I met this gal who said that she was from Ghana. And I got to say that to her.
Wow.
And she started to cry because she hadn't heard her language.
That's beautiful. That is a God story.
Who would have thunk that just that little phrase.
That is beautiful. Yeah.
So you pick up stuff that you don't think you'll ever have to use or that would have any value if you used it.
Oh, and I totally believe God knew that moment. We know he did.
That wasn't an accident. That was a divine appointment.
That's beautiful. And Chris, your willingness to say yes to Ghana allowed for that moment that we have no idea how much that young lady needed that.
You don't know.
You don't know, but God does.
He plants the seeds.
He sure does. Yeah. So what is it about your relationship with the Lord that makes you all live your life in service?
I think it's the way we express our love.
It's an overflowing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a chance to give back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have so much.
Yeah. And it's fun. Generally, serving is a lot of fun. You get to meet people. We started cooking for Open Doors, and we've met some amazing volunteers, and it's hard work. But it's really fun to serve the guests at Open Doors and see how much they appreciate the meals. Right. And they're just not simple little meals. They are full-fledged, great-tasting meals. Yeah. And these folks really appreciate it because they don't get it every day. And they are so appreciative. I haven't been called ma'am so many times in a night when they say, thank you, ma'am.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. You know, there's so many areas. And you're talking about doing face painting, and there's so many areas, whatever your gifting is, find something in your area that you're passionate or gifting, and I'm sure there's a way you can use that talent to serve others and serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Patrick talked about giving back. I mean, I feel like that's what, I feel so blessed that I want to give back. I've had people that came before me, small group leaders and youth or whatever it might be. I felt drawn to that age group because I had people middle and high school, particularly middle school, because that was the first age group that I have. It's an awkward time. Yeah. And so if you can just, and we've talked about being present. Like, I think that's the key, whether you're working with kids or with youth, just showing up on a consistent basis and letting them know that you're a safe place where they can share and just a comfortable place and a consistent presence that they know that they can come, whether you pray for them, whatever they're going through.
It's just simply showing you care.
Yeah.
And I don't think we realize the value of that sometimes.
Right. It's like the old saying, I'm sure it's used a lot, but that's because it's so true. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Absolutely.
And as believers, we're all called to serve.
So as folks are listening, or if someone shared this to someone who says, I've felt like I need to serve, but I haven't taken that step, what would you say to them today?
Take it.
Take it. Yeah. Do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just take the first step, and you'll be encouraged.
And when you're serving in an area, it doesn't mean you're serving for the rest of your life. Serve until maybe God opens another door, you know, to serve in.
I just recently shared with someone that when my two oldest were little, I was leading women's Bible study, and I loved it. But it was tough having littles and doing that. But I was determined I wasn't going to give it up, you know. And Pastor Margaret, in her wisdom, said to me, there are seasons for things. There are seasons. And you may have an opportunity later, but right now your greatest service is in your home. Right. You have two littles. And that was freedom for me. And goodness, I don't know how many years later, 12 years later, I'm serving and leading women's Bible study again. And the Lord's opened that door. But it's helpful to know, like you said, Grayson, if you sign up for something, it doesn't mean it's life.
Right.
And there are new opportunities that will come.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was two open doors. It opened the door for you to serve your two oldest kids at that time. It also probably opened up the door for somebody else to lead in women's Bible study. Yep.
And so, I've recently passed the baton again, trying to grow that team. And it's so cool to watch someone else grow in service.
Yeah. Because, I mean, when you leave a ministry area, if you've poured into somebody, the greatest success is probably that you've passed the baton.
Right.
Yeah.
You can see them be
and
successful.
Equipped other people to serve and lead.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Pat and Chris, it's been great to have you all today. In closing, you know, anything else that you would want to say about serving, maybe that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
I would encourage everybody to step out and just say, yes, I'll try that. And it may not, the first try may not be your best help, but that doesn't mean that there isn't something there for you.
Right.
It may be that you step into that and meet someone and it be the next thing or the next thing.
I was involved in the drama group at church. And one day a lady came and said, I'm a clown and I want to retire. And I don't want to leave the valley without a Christian clown. Who wants to learn? And there were three of us that said, sure, we'll learn. And one gal was deathly allergic to the makeup. And she broke out and she just couldn't do it. But another gal, Tracy Suter and I.
That's right.
Worked, you know, we started to learn. And this, our mama clown, her name is Carmen Fender, and she's Jolly Bean the Clown. She taught us everything we needed to get started. And we encouraged each other. You know, we did a lot of volunteer stuff. And then Tracy had the audacity to get pregnant, not once, but twice.
And so what then, was she thinking?
I know. So she had to step away because her priority then was her kids. Right. But I kept on with it. And that was probably 24 years ago.
Wow.
And so Rosie the Clown still lives, even if she doesn't have a red nose and big shoes.
Tell us one Rosie the Clown story as we close.
It was the Sunday of the time change. I can't, it was the time change where it was when it was later.
Everybody
were supposed to jump forward. And I pull up to the house. This was a long time ago. And I pull up to the house and there aren't any cars and there aren't any kids. I'm thinking, oh, gee, did I get it wrong? And I go to the house and it was grandma having the birthday party for her grandson. The kids' parents were divorced. Dad had the kid and he forgot about the time change. So he brought the kid an hour late.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And so before the other kids didn't come for a little bit. And so the grandmother and I had a chance to talk. And I've only done it this one time, but I got to lead her to the Lord.
Oh. Wow.
I haven't done it since, but we did the ABC prayer. And, you know, God was there.
Praise the Lord.
He created that space.
Yeah. Yes, he did. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Pat and Chris, it's been great to have you. Patrick, just one more question in closing. So we call this program Hope Talks, and maybe you've already shared this, but maybe you haven't. What brings you the most hope right now in the area of serving?
What drives me forward is that God has called us to love him with all our heart and all our strength. Mm-hmm. He's also called us to love our neighbor and to spend time doing that and focusing on that. And so that's where it's a commandment that we get involved and that we focus on outside of ourselves, the yeah. others, and find places. Right. And our first, I guess, movement is to find places within our church where we can help.
Right. Yeah, we definitely can find hope and serve in others. Pat and Chris and Angela, thank you all for joining me today. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you, Grayson.
Thank you.
Thanks, Grayson.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as Angela Cole and I have talked with Pat and Chris Kennedy today about serving, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.